This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of 114.
I noticed that Mike kept handing me my gifts. He was like, now open this one. And this one is still unopened. And he's just like, I'm so concerned. Excited for you to open this. And I am afraid.
It's going
to
be a very valuable gift. For a lot of different things.
Okay. All right. So good for
me. Well, really, for one thing. Okay. But
right now, God help us all. Let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
I am here to help you.
So,
was he a ghost of Christmas past?
Yeah, that's right.
I like it.
That's right. When we were just talking with Jerry, I understand probably for a variety of reasons it would be problematic if he was like, oh, yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence is not going to come back and play with the Cowboys. I was curious your thoughts about that. I can't remember if we asked you that yesterday or not. If he doesn't play again this season, do you think he's played his last snap with the Cowboys?
Well, you didn't ask me, and I think for the rest of the season it'll be a business decision. Like, is it going to matter? Like, are the games going to matter?
Right.
And then after that, I think he would like to play, but I think it also, I mean, he made a wisecrack a month or so ago about somebody said, well, would this be it? And he goes, well, depends what they want to pay me. Something like that. It was kind of off the cuff. It wasn't like some official, oh, this is what he said, right? I think it, you know, could be up in the air if someone makes it financially worth his while to play what would be a 12th season.
Yeah. I'm curious, do you feel like, or have you ever seen this be the case that, and this might just be a foolish question, that players who get hurt or something along those lines kind of feel like maybe they owe a little bit of a discount because they're like, hey, I didn't really play at all this last season.
No.
Maybe
I'll...
No.
Okay.
Players, we're talking about red-blooded Americans, aren't we?
Okay. I was just curious. Yeah. Just curious.
Yeah.
Foolish question.
If you're going to pay me, I probably would play, but it depends on, you know, is it worth my while? And who knows? You know, that might be, you know, after the injury, what Zach Martin thinks. So I don't want to go out this way, you know. I want to sign for 1 year. But, again, it depends on if you are rewarded financially to help you make that decision.
What do you think at the moment his best asset and value is for the Cowboys this next year, the end of this year here?
He ought to be fresh, right?
yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, he aged, you know, everything got put on hold. I think that, maybe more of, you know, and depending what else you have, because maybe you're kind of a rotation guy, they're not playing them inside as many times as, you know, maybe they did at some point last year in pass rush situations. Or maybe when they move Micah inside, he's outside. And you make it a little, easier. You know, I had someone tell me that Tyron Smith went to the Jets because he felt like with Aaron Rodgers there, they were going to pass the ball more than run the ball. And so I think maybe he was thinking at his age easier to pass block than to run block.
Yeah, that I guess that whole thing for the Jets hasn't really worked out.
So and then well. What is he on IR now? He
yeah, yeah, exactly. Eric, how are we feeling about Eric Kendricks for Sunday night? I know at this time of the year for a lot of teams, obviously the injury report every single day can look kind of daunting. And so while Bass, Brooks, Adoga, Lewis, Smith are all limited, how are we feeling about Eric Kendricks, who we haven't seen?
Well, his is listed as personal cat slash calf.
Yeah, which is an interesting combination.
And last week it was personal. So I think there's a good chance that he goes. You know, they weren't really sure about him last week. And then I think he had a good workout. I think it was the Saturday. And then when I saw him before the game, he was doing, you know, when they go out early, he was going through some drills and he looked really good and he was good to go. So, you know, you don't hope anything on anybody personal why they're not practicing, but he did it last week. And so I got a feeling that could be the same thing, that he's able to go. That Jordan Lewis has been, you know, moved to limited. That's a good sign. Adoga, even if he's limited, maybe he can be the backup guy, swing tackle. I think Guyton played well enough to start the game, so that's encouraging. And the other guys that did not practice, well, obviously Trayvon wasn't going to play.
Sure.
And then it was Kendricks and, there was one more guy that it was Vigil. And he hadn't practiced in a month, and he played every game. So whatever that foot is, they're kind of holding him out, and then he plays special teams. Yeah, the first block punt of his career, and how'd that turn out?
Yeah, I mean, I still stand by. Good for him for blocking
yes.
that punt.
Like, yes, absolutely.
Very well done.
Not a lot of people have that on their ledger.
Yes. Well, and if you thought about it after the game, or at least on Monday, I heard people going, well, why did they try to go block a punt? And they
I disagree with that so much,
right?
Too.
And they didn't. There was it was it, the return was on. The guy in front of Vigil he didn't even bother touching him. He just left. And Vigil, being a veteran, said, "Well, I might as well go and rush the punter." And he gets there for his first block of his career.
How are you feeling about this Cowboys defense versus a Tampa offense? Who I know we've talked about. In the four-game win streak, maybe three of the opponents are not particularly impressive, but they beat down the Chargers. And under their offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, this year, they are top five in points scored, passing touchdowns, total yards. I mean, like, they're up there in a lot of offensive categories. How are you feeling about that specific matchup?
So you know, the problem the Cowboys had early in the season against good teams, and I guess we can qualify this as a good team, stopping the run. And they do run the ball. And Bucky Irving's averaging 5.5 yards a carry. So they got to take care of that first and then make sure they get pressure on Baker and make sure that he doesn't escape the pocket on him, because that's when he gets dangerous for the opponent and sometimes himself, right? And he gets a little wild and starts throwing the ball around. But he can certainly hurt you, and he's coming off some consecutive very good performances. So to me, I know it's cliche, you got to stop the run, but they better keep him under pressure the way they did this past game. And, you know, somewhat the way they did against Washington with Jaden Daniels. Now, they let him out of the pocket that one time, and he runs for a touchdown, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they kind of surrounded him. And so I think they got to do that with Mayfield, and they've done a pretty good job since Micah has returned putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And that's got to happen in this game. Just got to.
Have what's been your kind of take then on the way that they've gone about stopping the run? And compared to what they obviously were against the Saints and how much better they've gotten there. What's been the difference there?
Well, I think, number one, I think they've gotten used to what Mike Zimmer wants them to do and how he wants them to play it, which was significantly different than last year. And remember, last year they had trouble stopping the run. The games that they lost, everybody ran for at least 110 yards, and I believe two of them for 200, right? I think that having Eric Kendricks on the field has really helped. Obviously, Overshown really, really helped. And they weren't opposed to playing three linebackers when teams went heavy with two tight ends or a tight end and a fullback. And I think that has somewhat made a difference. Now, of late, I think one of the things they've done and one of the reasons why they've done a better job of getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks is they're forcing the front, right? There are times they got six guys on the line of scrimmage, and they're making the offense decide who's coming and who's not. And I think that has created some mismatches, especially when one of them is Micah Parsons. And I think I told you guys this earlier in the week, on one of those with Micah on the line of scrimmage, and they had six guys, and he dropped into coverage. But the first step the center took, not knowing if Micah was rushing or not, assuming he was to wherever Parsons was, and he backed off, and they double-teamed that spot, and Jordan Lewis came through untouched for a sack. So yeah. I think that's one of the things that they've gone to and said, because I was asking the other day, it seemed like the Cowboys are very susceptible to screen passes and little dump-offs,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I saw where some highlights that's what Tampa Bay does a lot, and I was like, well, why are teams doing that? What are they seeing? And it's like, well, when you go to a six-man front, you don't have a lot of support, you know, off to the side, and you better get there in a hurry, or you better choose when you're not dropping guys off. And I think that's one of the reasons why that was happening. And we'll see if they do this, but they like the screen pass.
Now, Mickey, folks will say it's the most wonderful time of the year. For you, I know it's the most wonderful time of the week because you get to give a prediction. How are we feeling about Cowboys-Buccaneers?
Can I tell you, we joked about it on the podcast?
Sure.
Brandon Aubrey, after a free kick, hits a 70-yard field goal for the winner.
I mean, we saw that weirdness last night.
3-0.
A whole bunch of people were like, the hell just happened? And so, hey, if it gets them a win, I would enjoy that. Thank you very much.
And
good,
by
sir.
The way, I saw that take place. Tom Landry tried it, and we found out, we Googled it, it was in a preseason game in 1986.
I remember, Mickey, too, that like Bill Parcells discussed some that happening and like what they were hoping at one point.
This was towards the end of the half, first half, and they called a fair catch, and Rafael Septien had to free kick a 53-yard field goal, and he missed.
But
think about it. You get a free run-up, right? So it's basically a kickoff.
Yeah.
All you got to do is kick it straight. Now,
I'm intrigued by that for sure.
Oh, it's great. It's a wonderful rule.
Well, thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again on Monday.
All right, mark it down. We'll see how it turns out, huh?
Later, Mick.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we didn't finish opening up gifts, and I want to point out a couple of things. The Take a Load Off shirt that people are already wearing, This is my nightmare for Mike Likes It, but we also...
I mean, we're taking the load off at 12:45.
You
have done it.
May not have been as many loads as we've ever
taken. Stop phrasing.
I know.
All right, so a couple of things about that. Somebody said they're driving up from Arkansas to be with our show today. I have set aside a shirt
okay.
for that individual, the Take a Load Off shirt, and then also... We'll post it on social media. I promise I paid full price for these, but the person who made them has the template ready if you want to order your own Take a Load Off shirt.
I tweeted the link out at In the Majors.
Okay.
And we'll put it up at KNC 105.3.
All right. So we have the opportunity. I saw several people were like, dang it, I missed it. The template's ready if you want to get your own shirt. None of these proceeds go to me, but it goes to a very, very nice person, and you are brightening up her holiday season if y'all are interested. All right, we have more gifts to open, and Mike, I'm going to open.
Yeah, open yours first.
Because I feel like the anticipation level you have for Corey's other gift
is. He looks too giddy.
This is a great gift. This might be your favorite gift I've ever gotten you, but we will see. Open the one that's a little bit bigger. The one that's smaller is the Ranger set. So there you go.
Okay.
Left hand.
Throwback Thursday.
All right.
Ooh, it's
Let's see.
Card.
I think he's going to like this, guys.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my gosh. It is a blue cracked ice prism graded Christian Laettner autograph card.
And I made sure it was Duke.
Christian Laettner.
Plenty of Timberwolves stuff.
Yeah, I bet the Timberwolves stuff's even cheaper.
Timberwolves stuff's cheaper.
I could definitely see that. Thank you very much, Mike. This is delightful. I love Christian Laettner. I know everybody hates him. I grew up as a Duke fan because of the Final Four being in Dallas back in 86, and he was the man.
Yeah.
Like, he was the man when they won their back-to-back titles.
He's one of probably the five greatest college basketball players of all time.
I think that's
Pete Maravich is probably first.
Think about his 4 years. He lost in the Final Four, lost in the championship, and won two titles. He was in the Final Four all 4 years that he was in college. All right. Corey, Mike is pumped.
Okay. You ready to open up your last gift from me, Corey?
Yeah, I guess.
Thank you very
love
much,
it.
Mike. I like this a lot.
Yeah. I'm concerned. Based
well,
on
I
the
think you should
said
be.
To me.
He has a – I got him a beer can chicken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So you got me a beer can?
Yeah.
Is that what you got me here?
So, I mean, if you're going to make chicken – You got to have a recipe. You got to have recipes.
Oh, my God. I do not know if you can put that on the fan cam if you guys want to read what that says.
There's 100 recipes on there. It says 100 ways to eat
chicken.
Male chicken.
Whoa. Are those chicken recipes?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, it's a recipe.
So. Okay, because you can see how I'm afraid it's just graphic drawings and stuff like that.
Some people would call that a gag gift. You know what I'm saying?
This is it, ladies and gentlemen. Surely this is the end of the KNC Masterpiece.
Well, this should help out. This should help out because usually I just choke them. So.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So now you have – there's 100 different ways to cook chicken there.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate that, man. You're the best.
You're welcome.
He killed it, man. That's awesome. Good job, Mike.
Kevin, what do you think? Do you need a recipe book?
No, I'm good, man. I'm good. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Alabama's athletic director, Dennis Rodman, and the NBA. And you know what? I guess we'll find out in the break. Maybe Mike Bassett. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? 877-881-1053. We'll do that next live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of 114 on 105.3 The Fan.
Three receivers punched right. They pitch it. That error. Dangerous throw. Intercepted. Eli Bowen, the true freshman, swipes it as Milroe throws his first pick in the last four games, and this one could be crucial.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth. Off of 114, as you can tell, all our rowdy friends are here tonight. But you guys are more than welcome. We have plenty of space, and my nightmare is playing out that everyone is wearing these Take a Load Off shirts. And I know, I regret it. But Mike, we're going to do Forgiveness Friday in a second. From the 817, this is a top five show of the year. Oh, my gosh. From the 817, I just snorted in my truck laughing at, that's a gag gift. From the 469, this is the best ever. I have hope for never having to grow up and mature. Thanks, Mike. And from the 817, that gag gift line was even better than the pool holes joke. And I remember that at the specs. And then y'all were like, "You're filled with Mike Trout," and I thought you guys were gonna
Tim
die,
Salmon.
Yeah, laughing.
So many fish jokes.
So much. And Corey, do you want to repeat what the last present was that you got from Mike?
Yeah, it was 100 ways to eat chicken, in the or rooster, if you will.
There might be a more familiar way, mm-hmm. to slang.
Rhymes
if you
with
will.
Rock, if you will.
Gotcha.
And then
gotcha.
The 972, Eric Ferris here drove all the way from Italy, Texas, to see you. So he's sitting right there, Kevin, in the Cowboys.
Oh, very
hat.
Nice.
Very buongiorno.
Nice. From Italy. Not buongiorno, Mike. It's
attenzione.
Just a regular,
attenzione.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Forgiveness Friday. 877-881-1053. Do you need to ask somebody for forgiveness? Do you need forgiveness? By the way, let me clarify. I fell in love with Duke when they were in the 1986 Final Four here at Reunion Arena. Leitner didn't get there until 88 or until 89, 90, 91, and 92 seasons.
You were ferrying it then.
Yes, Danny Ferry.
Yeah, you were a big Ferry fan.
They lost to Never Nervous Purvis.
Yeah, Louisville.
Yeah.
And then Never Nervous Purvis, number one pick. Who will ever forget that?
Yeah, he was pretty...
Turn the Kings around.
He's pretty forgettable after that. So I played the highlight of Alabama, and I just want to know, do you like this tactic? Do you think that this tactic needs to ask for forgiveness? The Alabama athletic director has talked about some of the struggles that the team had this season, and he goes, hey, you've heard other examples of teams using promises of million-dollar paydays to lure players or convince them not to come to Alabama. It's time for Bama Nation to fight back, which essentially means give us
money yeah.
so we can field a more competitive team. Is that the way to go? Do you think that needs forgiveness? Where do you fall on this?
I'm so confused on this, and I know schools are getting now, not every school, millions of dollars that more millions of dollars than they ever gotten to pay players. I'm not opposed to players getting paid. It's just amazing to me that you would work for a living. It's not your child. Mm-hmm. And you're like, here's $150K. Here's $1 million of my money I've worked for. So you can possibly get a wide receiver that could help us next year. It is weird to me when these schools, like UT, my daughter goes to UT. You want to donate more money for what? No, I don't. I'm already donating like $30,000 a year for my daughter to go to UT. That's plenty of money you guys are getting from me. I don't want to give you any more.
Yeah. Well, and so like my possibilities, they have people that work there because they are 100% nonprofit. Like they get their money from donations.
Yep.
They have people that they go out and seek people who have the money and say, can you donate this? And then, you know, we do what we do and all that. So that's only like raising money is only one part of the foundation for the college level. There are more people. I'm sure they're going to have staffs of people that are going to alumni and finding out who the richest ones are. And is that how you do it, or you just put out a call? I'm sure there's going to be somebody that has the most advanced version of it, and they're going to be ahead of the game before anybody else. Kevin, I'm perfectly fine with them continuing to grow that. I do think there needs to be some like understanding of who's in charge and how it's rolling within each organization.
Now,
can I throw one out?
Yeah.
I would like to ask forgiveness in a way. Mike, I did not stick around and watch the rest of the high school state championship with you yesterday.
I stayed at the station.
And, Kevin, on our way out, we both said we've never seen Mike stay
so
at the station as long as he did yesterday. But, Mike, did you end up watching that, and was it the outcome you wanted?
I don't know if it's the outcome I wanted. I felt bad for the little quarterback because he ended up throwing an interception in the end. It's kind of like you didn't want either team to lose.
Yeah.
I wasn't for or against Stanford or Ganado, who Ganado ended up winning the state championship.
Triple overtime, right?
Yeah, it was just a really fun finish. And I thought mistakes were being made from the coaches.
They do in the NFL.
But it ended up, Ganado gets the two-point conversion. Stanford doesn't when it got to the third overtime. It's like college where it's just two-point conversion.
Okay, yeah, because Broadus had asked me about that, and I was like, I don't think I've seen a three-overtime high school game under the new rules. So I thought they still played under the old rules,
honestly.
Yeah,
so it's third overtime. Now we know for high school it goes to two-point conversion time, and it was really fun. I mean, I felt like we invested in that game yesterday during the show.
G-Bag was too at the during the crosstalk.
Okay, yes, they were. They were for sure. Now, I don't know. Doug Gottlieb he's having a struggle time as a head coach.
No.
So
the media guy?
Yeah, but he is
who turned me away one day. He was like, "Why are you standing here?" And I was like, "I'm a little drunk."
I do remember that. So he coaches Green Bay. The
Packers.
No, the college basketball team. But he also still does his talk show and stuff.
I didn't know that.
That's wild.
Okay.
So they lost last week to Michigan Tech. I have to admit, I didn't know. That was their eighth.
I guess every state has a Tech.
Oh, that's a technical school, yeah.
That was their eighth consecutive loss.
Hawaii Tech.
And then he said, part of the reason I want to play better teams is, it's 2 degrees outside. It's snowing. I don't really like the idea of nobody you coming in here. What do you learn winning a game like that by 20 points? There's a methodology to it, and I'm going to have to adjust moving forward. Every game on our schedule is a game that we can lose, and nobody else does that. Now you know why. So he was hyping up Michigan Tech. Some people thought that was a swipe at Division II schools. And then they lost, or excuse me, that previous loss is what happened. Then they lost to Michigan Tech, and that was a Division II school. And people are like, "Hey, Gottlieb, how you feeling?" Feels like you just lost to nobody. And he has gotten really tired of it. He sent out a tweet after the game: "I'm done with this crap. We scheduled up, including Michigan State. Nowhere ever have I been critical of anyone on our schedule. Now back to work." And people were like, "Yeah, okay." So do you think maybe he needs to put more focus on this coaching job?
Dude, to be successful at coaching, you have to commit it all.
They're 2-11 right
now. Oh, no. Yeah. Is this his first year?
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't know he was coaching at all. Yeah. So I'm like, wow, I feel like I should have known this.
Yeah, that dude wears me out, Kevin. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine.
He has
that's
for a long time.
Does it? I know he has the weird take. And he's like the only person who says, yeah, Ginobili's the best international player. This was 8 years ago. It's not Dirk.
Even then, that was a dumb
Yeah,
opinion.
You're like, wait a second. I don't even think Ginobili would agree with you on that one. But he's like, yeah, Ginobili meant more to the Spurs than Dirk did to the Mavs. And it's like, all right, dude. Like, I mean, I remember that one really irking me. Because I almost felt like, all right, as you're having discussions with other people, can you see that you're the only person who thinks this?
Yeah.
I seem to remember going on his show and him shooting me down on that Dak would one day have all the records in the Cowboys record book, and he was like, it's impossible. Romo's the best they've ever had. And I was like,
I mean, it's definitely not impossible. Like, regardless of what you think of Dak, it really feels like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
And the next guy, as long as they play about a 10-year career, we'll beat all of Dak's records.
Yep, probably so.
Does the NBA need forgiveness? I know we talked maybe 2 days ago about the variety of problems the NBA has, but LeBron has really sided with one thing, it feels like. And he goes, look, our game, there's a lot of effing three-pointers being shot. So it does seem like he falls into the category of too many three-point shots being taken place, which is interesting because I would argue he is one of the poster children for too many three-point shots being taken at not a particularly efficient clip.
Yeah, especially because he's not a pure shooter.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a pure athlete.
He's a pure scorer, too.
I saw this the other day, you know, watching all this NBA stuff I can't remember who said it, but they said the easiest thing to do in basketball – not the easiest thing to do as in to be successful, but the easiest thing to do is to shoot a three-point shot. Anybody can do it. It doesn't mean it's going in, but the easiest thing to do is just catch a ball and shoot it from 25 feet.
For your legs, for your feet, for your
like
body.
It's not taxing at all. It's just like, I want to just hang out here, Nobody's going to touch me. They can't touch me when I shoot it, you know. And so it's like you're saying they've gotten away from the physical play, but the players have been told they're only doing – and the guy was like, they're only doing what they are told to do. And that's the same thing in baseball. It's like – the reason everybody's hitting 235, the league average is that, is because they're being told do that. If they were being told you will not strike out, if you strike out 100 times in 3 months, I'm sending you back to the minor leagues, you know,
nobody
or I'm releasing you. They'd stop striking out as much. They're only doing what they're told, and these players are being told don't go into the paint, and if you do, immediately try to find somebody for a three-point shot. And I just thought, it is the easiest thing to do. It's the most least taxing thing to do in basketball is to stand and then catch a ball and then jack it up from 25 feet.
Think about it. That's what the Heat's demise was against the Mavericks. They were exhausted trying to chase down Jason Terry and everything. And so they start playing hero ball because they were like, I can't drive to the basket, I don't have the legs anymore.
Yeah.
And so they went with that.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. The Cowboys aren't making the playoffs, so what do you want to see get accomplished in the – What do you want to see get accomplished in these last three games? We'll do that next live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of 114 on 105.3 The Fan.
Herbert looking to throw, and now shovel passes, has Haskins. Haskins on his horse. 20 to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers! Hassan Haskins harkening back to his college days when he rushed for 20 touchdowns under Jim Harbaugh.
Can't see Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of 114. We've got a rowdy crowd here today, which I absolutely love. And right now, what say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
Here we go.
Gridiron gravy. I really hope all of this is making its way across the air, like all of the audience participation and everything like that. I really would encourage
it does
you guys.
Because people keep showing up and doing
That's
it.
True.
So new people
that is,
show up
that
and they're
is
part
true.
Of it.
I love when people come out here, and we still got time. If y'all want to come out here, catch a show over by the Texas Motor Speedway off of 114. Remember, Gridiron Gravy is brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why just paint your house when you can shoot your home visit? Rhino Shield TX. I was not.
Did you almost break our table?
But it wasn't that. It was. Did you see everybody else pounding the table
too?
That's
broke their table.
That's what really threw me off. All right, were you guys in on Thursday Night Football last night? Because if you dipped like before halftime, you missed the historic play that we talked about with Mickey. But if you dipped in the first half, you're probably stunned to learn that the Chargers won this game, and they won this game emphatically.
I was stunned to learn it, actually, this morning, Kevin, because I dipped at halftime. I was like, all right, Broncos have this one pretty much sewn up. They're in control of
it. That's what I thought,
it.
Too.
And I did see that weird thing all at the end of the half, and it looked like nobody understood what they were supposed to be doing.
Harbaugh, it hasn't happened in a game since, like, 66 or 68 in a regular season game.
I know Parcells, at one point, while he was here, was trying to set that up, and it didn't work out for him. But it looked like Harbaugh had no clue, and his special teams coach was kind of walking him through it. When Dicker went out there, I remember it looked like he looked at them and went, now what do I do? And then they were like explaining it all. But when he made that kick, I thought it was really cool. And it must have felt good for him having nobody bearing down on him trying to block the kick. But if you look, if you saw it right after, he's running over to the sideline and he gives the sideline a wink. I don't know who it was he gave a wink to, but that was a really fun moment right there.
So if you missed the specific play, it's a seldom used rule in the NFL, which allows a team that has just made a fair catch to attempt a field goal without the opponent trying to block it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did not research the origins of why in the world that
it's
would be a rule.
From the spot of the fair catch, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And so the last time, I'm sorry, I said 66 or 68, 1962, Paul Hornung was the last person to do the fair catch free kick from 52 yards. And that was in 1962. So that move.
He probably fair caught it and kicked it.
I could definitely see that. But this brought the game back down to within 8, and the Chargers dominated. in the second half, specifically the fourth quarter. I still think both the Broncos and the Chargers are in the playoffs at 9-6, but this will hurt the potential upward mobility that the Broncos, yeah, they might not have had either way because they're not going to win their division, but this could slide them down the wild card higher.
And that's something we discussed yesterday a little bit, Kevin, with the is it locked up with the final playoff spots. We did discuss the possibility of where Denver might go.
Yes. I'm really excited to see the AFC playoffs. Like,
they're the most exciting for me right now.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, from the 214, I love it. Kevin, I can hear the dip in the background along with the shield for RhinoShieldTX.com. And I think that is very cool. All right, some people are upset. They said I should have given a spoiler alert. The Cowboys aren't making the playoffs.
There is a 0.2% chance.
0.2%. That's 1 in 500. So
that's only
I'm
going to
take my chances with the 499 out of 500 that they're not going to make it.
It's down. Their chances are down less than the stock exchange was yesterday. So
man, that...
What
that
happened to Bitcoin?
Oh, man, it took a dive, too.
Oh, did it?
Just hold on to it,
Bitcoin
though.
Is so volatile. I didn't have the stomach for that.
As the great Kevin has been quoted of saying, it's okay, I'm not selling today.
Exactly. So. Whatever people are like, you lost $4 billion. Warren Buffett's like, not really. I'm not selling today, so I'm fine.
So hold on to that Bitcoin.
Okay, I don't want that construed as financial advice. I don't think we're supposed to
randomly bought $50 of it in 2017 on the G-Bag Nation.
Yeah.
And it's like more than 300 or 300 or something?
I don't know. He just told me maybe it's worthless now.
No, it's not worthless now, but it's, I mean,
it lost all the ones
times.
Out of the 00101010.
Oh, my gosh.
I still don't understand the mining part of it, but that's for another day.
I mean, I can mine Bitcoin right now.
Yeah. He's basically digging air right now and saying, look, there's nothing.
Yeah, it's just fake coin.
What? Why are you looking at me like that? I didn't invent Bitcoin.
Yeah, but can you explain it?
Not really. All right, let's go from
it's worth something.
That to, okay, well, let's just go off the wild assumption that the Cowboys wouldn't make the playoffs.
Okay, fine.
Okay,
what would you want to see in these last three games? Because one of the things that popped into my head
Spoiler.
Is building confidence with Tyler Guyton.
Okay.
Moving into next year. And, I mean, you love to see Hoffman playing well. I know, obviously, BB was dealing with a concussion. Tyler Guyton has had his share of injuries and on-field problems. I would love to see Tyler Guyton build up some momentum at
Where?
The end of the year.
Because
probably
Kevin,
a left tackle?
I understand that, but you might have your left tackle. Like, that's a possibility, and there's still question marks about your right tackle. And maybe maybe that's his best position. That's what he was playing in college. So like there's lots of opportunities for Guyton here at the end of the year for them to mix and match and try and give him those chances. So
and
do it.
I kind of want to see that across the offensive line because of the players I thought of. It was Hoffman, Bass, Spanford, Leafau, Mukwamu, Guyton. So three of those are offensive linemen.
The when it comes to him, though, and you've heard Jerry say this multiple times, Stevenson has kind of not said it as often, but Jerry's been like, these young players playing through injury is important because you kind of have to learn how to be tough in
sure.
the NFL.
Sure.
I don't necessarily need Guyton playing if he's still hurt. I don't need him playing through it. Like right now, I don't want him to lose any more confidence because of an injury and that be a reason. I want him to be, if he's healthy, get him out there and try and give him some reps because he's going to need him for next year.
I think it's offensive line. I agree with you because you do have Dak Prescott as your quarterback the next 3 years most likely. And we now know he can't move anymore. He is more mobile than Cooper Rush. He is stronger than Cooper Rush. He's a better passer than Cooper Rush. Yes, he's better in all aspects than Cooper Rush. But he is now below average in the athleticism category of starting quarterbacks in the NFL. If you start going through all the real starting quarterbacks, take out the backups, you go, oh, at this point where Dak is in his career, he is now below average if you start thinking of all the guys. So, and you're adding like Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward.
I haven't thought about it, but you're probably right.
Yeah. You know, last night, is he more athletic than Bo Nix or Justin Herbert?
No.
Is he more athletic tomorrow than C.J. Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson? I mean, we just, you keep doing it, and you're like, he's not the least athletic, but he's below average. So this offensive line for the next 3 years is going to have to block for a guy that's not going to be able to move well. He can't run for, like, first downs or big plays. So that offensive line is going to have to create pockets and keep pockets for an immobile quarterback to make plays.
Now, I'm going to go from that to... Oh, yeah, another thing I wanted to throw out there. I'm sorry, I had a...
Oh, yeah, we're still in that mode.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
I had one or two other thoughts about that. Sorry, we try to cram as much show as possible into today. Can you figure out for sure who's your backup quarterback? Because I know everyone's going to say, well, it's Cooper Rush. They think he gives them the best chance to win. Well, he's going to be a free agent. Obviously, Trey Lance is going to be a free agent. Three games left is probably not long enough to figure out what you want about Trey Lance. But I would love it if they could walk away and they're like,
all right,
hey, Cooper Rush is definitely our quarterback if he doesn't get paid more than $2 million or whatever you think the number should be.
You know how yesterday, Corey, you kind of said, oh, just a second, I'm kind of going to disagree with myself.
Yes.
I'm going to disagree with what I said maybe a week or 2 weeks ago. I've said you can't pay a backup quarterback because of how financially stressed you are. I think you're going to have to.
Because you think Dak's going
to
get
Because I think you're going to have to play 4 or 6 games next year without Dak Prescott. So if you believe that you can win 10 or more games next year, if you believe that the NFC is – doable as in making a run in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I know it hasn't been since Troy Aikman, but let's just pretend it can be. I need somebody to start most likely at quarterback besides Dak 4 games next year. And I'm hoping only 4.
Yeah, but Dak is unfortunately injury prone.
If I go with the league minimum non-drafted quarterback, I'm probably going 1-3.
Yeah.
Like, I do need a Cooper Rush type of backup quarterback. Now, it can be him. If you think there's somebody better, I don't know, like Pittsburgh releases Justin Fields. I don't know if you think Justin Fields is better or not, but
I do.
So you could do something like that and go, look, this is actually a valuable player for us now because we have to know that Dak is going to miss games from now on.
Now, Mike, you've pointed out that down the stretch, the Buffalo Bills have what is essentially a JV schedule.
Yes.
Is that fair to say yes?
If I'll say at least they go 2-0 because the third game might not matter.
Might be a freshman schedule.
But, I mean, you are playing
– Yeah.
You're playing 2 of the 5 worst teams in the NFL. Rank them wherever you want, but the Jets and the Patriots are horrible.
No, I agree with you about that. So I thought this was an interesting note because it feels very achievable. Now – if the Bills score at least 30 points in their next game, they'll be the first team in NFL history to score 30 points in 9 straight games in one season. Now, it's carried over a couple of times before across seasons where teams have got like 7 in this season or 4 in this season to surpass that. The Broncos did it. The Packers and the Patriots did it. The Patriots and the Broncos did it. I'll get that right. But this would be the first time ever, 9 consecutive times inside one season, a team has scored at least 30 points. And when you look at the teams they have coming up, depending on how much they care, it definitely feels like you can get the streak up to 11.
Doesn't it feel like, I know what you're talking about here. I was just thinking about this as you say this, on how quick great offenses come back to earth the next year and become not great, but they're not bad. I know you could say Kansas City's a bad offense, I wouldn't fight you too hard on that. But for a second there, the Rams looked like they were going to be awesome for a while, and they still have Matthew Stafford, but they're not awesome, but they're pretty good. It's just, it is tough to do what you're doing, and that is to score 30 points more than not scoring 30 points, and then to say, oh, well, I'm still going to have Josh Allen. We're going to just do it again next year. It's kind of proven that it's very tough. If you have a great offensive year, I don't know if it's defensive coordinators. I don't know what
The league catches up to
that you. That they figure out how to slow down the elite offenses and make them back to, like, good. Like, okay, you can still be maybe the 5th best offense, but you're not going to do what you did last year.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of 114. Now, we can stick with the Cowboys if you want, or I kind of want to throw this out there. Are folks sleeping on the defense Luka's playing this season? Let's talk about that next right here on The Fan.